Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's good, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your host of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. Listen, Linda. I cannot go back outside for at least the next 2 years after all the partying and being out and talking and strategizing in the corner with people at major parties of BET weekend. It was Black folk, Black excellence, the week of Juneteenth at the highest level, successful Black folks, activists, organizers, leaders, elected officials, business people, entertainers, regular folk, everybody together in so many spaces. It was really, really the best BET weekend I've ever been to.
Yeah, man. And it started out, the reason why we actually even were here is because our sister, Miss Diddy, honored Until Freedom at her Toast to Black Hollywood event, which kicked it off dope. You know, the ambiance, it was a vibe. Like it was a dope vibe. Shout out to Diddy, man, and the work that she always does. But we want to just say thank you for honoring us and recognizing the work that Until Freedom does. And we just want to say the work that you do, you know, the way that she brand coordinates and connects and is able to navigate and strategize and put together different brands and different people in rooms. It's just amazing, you know, and she just has a skill set that is needed. and it represents Black excellence, and it elevates Black culture. So shout out to Ms. Diddy.
Yeah, you know, she is a marketing and branding expert. The way her brain connects with brands and people is so powerful. Not everybody can do it. It's a whole lot of people out here that claim to be in branding. They want you to put them in your budget for marketing and promotions, and they don't be doing nothing. I know because doing anything. I know because I've hired some of them, but I know for sure that every time Miss Diddy touches a brand, their value increases and their ability to reach the targeted market, it increases. And I see also her own growth. And we should actually have Miss Diddy to come on and talk some of the things that she's doing. So we have to put a pin there. But that's our friend, our sister. You know, she was honoring us, but because of the prices of the flights and so many challenges, she was totally like, you guys don't have to come. And I'm so glad we were able to make it happen to be here. You and Attorney Angelo Pinto and I attended her event, and there were so many other important, passionate Black folks acknowledged there as well. Trader Truth, our brother, he was one of the honorees. Valisha Butterfield Jones, and the list goes on. I'm not gonna get myself in trouble, but that's just two of the people. Cynthia Bailey, who I just love and admire so much. So it was a really powerful kickoff. And then, as you said, I mean, there's so much we did after that. Rock Nation had an event. We went to Club Quarantine with D-Nice and Kenny Burns. That was one
of the highlights. Shout out to my brothers. That was one of the highlights. Listen, Club Quarantine, like, it started online, right?
Right.
But when you in that room in Club Quarantine, and it's the same vibe, like, it brought me back to being in the pandemic in my living room, stressed and just saying, look, I got to go to D-Nice page and then blasting the music, and you getting that vibe, and you get your little wine and champagne. It was that vibe in the room. And what D-Nice has been able to do with Club Quarantine is nothing short of amazing. Mm-hmm. Just watching his brand explode. And it was due, you know, because D-Nice has always been one of the best DJs in the world. And I know D-Nice as the rapper, you know, from BDP, you know what I'm saying? So my name is D-Nice, so I always, and from the Bronx, you understand what I'm saying? So I always had this love for D-Nice, but watching him elevate from positivity, right? Doing something to unite the world and give people a level of joy at one of the most hardest times in history, you know, was phenomenal. One of the hardest times in history.
Yes, sir.
One of the hardest times in history, you know, was nothing short of amazing. And watching him evolve into the premier, the world's DJ is just
That's
dope.
A good title for him, the world's DJ, because he surely is. D is my family. Like, we are actually family. We're not blood related, but we might as well be, you know. And I have a lot of respect for him. Like you, you guys know him on, you know, from the community, from him being, like you said, a rapper, being in the music game long time ago. But I know him from watching him with his daughters, watching him with his family, watching him with his mother and his auntie. And D is, he's a special guy. And that's why this has happened. And it's not, you know, just by chance. It's because he really did sit and think intentionally about, like, how can he give something to the world that was also pouring into him during the pandemic. And Club Quarantine was definitely one of the highlights of my whole weekend. So that
Shout
was
out Kenny Burns too. Our brother Kenny Burns.
Let me tell you something about Kenny Burns. Kenny Burns is my dude. I love Kenny Burns, man. I really do. Kenny Burns is a super authentic dude. Every time you see him, you get the same person. You know, he's not the corny dude that act like he's too fly to speak. like, you know, all of that. Because some of these people, I'm not going to tell you what I wouldn't do, but I wouldn't do it if they was on fire. But Kenny, since I've known him, always nothing but love. So it's been love around the entire weekend. And that for me, it was super powerful. And first of all, let's give a shout out to all the Black folks up in BET, from Scott Mills, the president and CEO, to Connie Orlando, to Janine Liber, to Lewis Carr. I mean, again, another place where I could get in trouble, but all of these Black folks that are around trying to create an experience where other Black people can meet up and be together. And I really do mean that in every single thing. We went to the Hennessy event, we went to, which was at the Gathering Spot. So shout out to our brothers that run the Gathering Spot. Ryan, I forget Ryan's last name sometime, but our brother Ryan. We went to, what else did we go to, my son? I mean, so much stuff, so many different things that happened. In every single room, I saw you talking to people. I was in the corner speaking to mega celebrities and or influencers in their own right, just about like, what's the steps that we take? Because of course the Roe v. Wade decision came down right as BET weekend began. And so you had people, which that happens all the time anyway, because there's always some shit going on with us. But there were folks who were like, listen, I'm really concerned about the violence in our communities. What can we do on that front? They were like, you know, and now women's rights, we see they're going to come for more. What can we do? So, you know, a lot of powerful conversations. And then, you know, of course, Diddy being, I call him Puff, but him being honored and his speech and, you know, of course, talking about his mom and all of that was great. But the part that was very, very touching for me is when somebody on Twitter said he became Diddy Luther King last night, which is so funny, but you know, they do that to us, but you gotta laugh at yourself. So anyway, he was talking about this dream that Black people will be together. And it was that type of spirit all around BET weekend, people trying to figure out what can they do. So we just gotta keep it up. Like, don't stop.
Yeah, I think we're at a very pivotal point in history, and it's going to be recorded, you know, where we stood, what we did, right, what we didn't do, you know. And I think Puff being in this industry so long, right, being having a level of success so long, being in different rooms and noticing, you know, the trends, noticing that most people that look like him are not in a lot of those spaces, don't have the same resources, don't have the same opportunities. You know, and him having personal investment in wanting to see that change, right? I've been hearing him for a while now. That's one of the main things. He wants equity. He wants Black, you know, intergenerational wealth. He wants us to create something that is sustainable, something that we own. You know, he wants Black excellence. And I think we're at a time where it's actually possible. You know, I think that merge is about to happen between the activists, the artists, all of the people who have the ability to make change. And I think is when we at our lowest point, when we look at the violence in America, Black violence, and how, you know, it's affecting our communities. I think people are realizing that we need unity more than anything right now. So, you know, I'm eager to start the process of the change and the evolution of our culture and the unity of our culture. So hopefully it starts to resonate.
Yeah, and there's so much happening in the news. It certainly should push us to, you know, want to get more involved and really understand how serious all of this stuff is. I mean, even just thinking about the Roe v. Wade decision that came down from the Supreme Court, you got a lot of people that's upset. And I saw a bunch of white women marching out in the streets in California, and, you know, people really out there. And not enough of our people, I don't think, are... I think we're paying attention. We certainly know what's happening, but I'm not sure that we understand that we need to be out physically fighting back against this. It's not going to happen on internet. It's not. And it's actually time for us to do something that is really, really strong and extreme, because what's happening to us is extreme. We are at war. There is an actual war, and people are playing their role in it. And I don't think we've put our gear on to say, okay, we're in a, you know, this, we got to go to battle, like, seriously. So hopefully we can, but it always is better. I mean, you think about James Brown and Reverend Jackson and others who were sort of moving at the same time, right? You got, you have Dr. King and Mahalia Jackson and others. So that means you have entertainment, Harry Belafonte being, you know, an entertainer, but also if we're using the term influencer, he certainly was an influencer with, you know, in his time, and all of them merging to move culture. And that's what I hear you talking about. So, you know, Roe v. Wade is super serious, because not because people are for abortion or against it, but what we are for is a woman's right to choose, that it's my body and I should be able to make a decision with my doctor that has nothing to do with an elected official who is able to determine my medical care. So this is a real serious thing, but what is even more important is that it has set the tone for what is to come. And by the time the Supreme Court, because, you know, they meet, you don't know what the hell is going on. It's not like watching hearings, you know, on TV. Sometimes you can watch Senate hearings. You know what's on the floor. You understand politically what's out there. We always knew Roe v. Wade was going to come up as a major issue. And we know just several weeks ago, it was leaked by an employee or somebody within the Supreme Court that got the documents and put it out there. So that's how we knew what they were even thinking, but you don't know. So when the Supreme Court reconvenes and they're meeting again and getting ready to put forth more decisions, it could be all kinds of things that, you know, happen and rights that we lose. So that's why we have to really seriously get in front of it. And also why we cannot sit by and allow Joe Biden, President Biden, to make us feel like voting is the only thing, you know, that
end all be all.
He has to do some stuff. He has to do some stuff. You have to also put yourself out there and start a fight, a real fight. You know, listen, he needs to start a fight. So you have that going on. And then this Brittany Griner situation is super serious. Now they're saying that her court date will be July 1st, or her trial begins July 1st. I spoke with her wife, who basically gave me an understanding of what's happening. First of all, it's not even like her trial is happening in consecutive days. Like, you know, you go to trial, you're in there every day. Of course, there's moments when they may recess or adjourn or whatever for a day or two. But for the most part, every day you go to trial until it's over, every weekday. Her trial is set up where it's like July 1st, and then maybe, and don't quote me on these dates, but then maybe like July 7th, and then July 11th, and then July 20 something, like it's all over the place. And the other thing she said was that in Russia, their courts have like a 97% conviction rate, a 97% conviction rate. That means it's a kangaroo court. You go to court, basically, everybody is together. They've already made a decision that you're guilty of whatever they say. They're talking about large, what are they, the charge I saw today was like large transport of drugs. Like what?
Narcotics. They said that she had narcotics, and that was kind of weird for me. So I would.
But they may say, first of all, her family, they at this point, they have not even seen or understand anything about what she may or may not have had. Okay, so that in and of itself is questionable. And her lawyers saying the bottom line is that she is innocent, period. And our position is, even if she had what they say, some vapor or whatever thing, the vape and whatever, still our country should be fighting to get her out. You don't leave an American citizen, especially a woman. This woman is not, she wasn't over there causing mayhem or doing anything illegal to where people's lives were in danger or participating in some type of, you know, something against the government or anything like that, to where she was a danger again to society in Russia, that we should allow her to be in that, in prison there at a time of war when we're also engaged in trying to stop Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I mean, this is, we don't have to even get into all the details, because if a person doesn't understand it, to hell with you. If you don't understand why we care about Brittany Griner being locked up in Russia and a kangaroo court situation where you don't even, it's no way that we see that she will actually get a fair trial, then that's on you. But we're going to fight for it. And in fact, today there will be a prayer vigil, and today there'll be a prayer vigil for her where, you know, we're asking people to show up outside of the Russian embassy in New York. And let's pray for her. Let's pray for the Russians and their hearts also to open up so that our sister can get out. So that's the deal with that.
It's a real crazy situation, man. My prayers are definitely with her. You know, just trying to even imagine being formerly incarcerated, you know, and being incarcerated here was tough. And just knowing that, you know, the trajectory of her life, she did not see anywhere that this would be happening to her. So there has to be a level of trauma that she's experiencing. So I'm definitely praying for her, her family, you know, and hopefully the U.S. gets on this job.
Yeah. You
know, and get something done, man. So
they say that they're working behind the scenes, and, you know, you want to believe it, but you also, you know, it's just, I don't know. That brings me to my thought of the day. Going back to this Roe v. Wade stuff, right, because you know I'd be thinking. But and going back to the Roe v. Wade issue, and then also even thinking about Brittany Griner, right, and knowing that there are so many people who could be involved, particularly white folks with power and influence that could be standing up for her, but they like, oh, well, they said she had drugs. Like, we just said that Putin was crazy. He's a liar. He's dangerous. But now we believe that quick that a Black woman did whatever they say, right? So the same people who we just said they crazy, they, you know, they're whatever. I can't even think of the words that people use to describe Putin, but it's some serious shit. A maniac, a madman. They say all of that. They say it's corrupt. But then, she did what they said anyway. And I see a lot of white folks, I just happened to be in white Twitter, and I saw that they were like, well, you know, it's a little different because she was carrying drugs. How do you know? Did you see it? Like, what are you talking about? Exactly. Right. So I was thinking that we really don't necessarily need a bunch of white folks marching up and down the streets. We really don't. We really need white women to go march in their communities. We need them to go to their communities, to their family barbecues. We need them to go march over their mama's house and put a tent outside on the lawn of your mama's house and sit there. Sit there. Go to the country club. Protest there. Go to these establishments where some of your family, because, you know, for Black folks, whether we related or not, when we see other Black people, it's family, right? It's all of us. When we see Black people out here in the world hurting or doing crazy things, we feel responsible enough to call them in and say, hey, man, this is not good for our people. Or we celebrate when, as a people, we're winning, right? And when some of our you know, best and brightest are making strides. So take responsibility in the same way, white folks. The marching is cool. We get it. That's, you know, great. But what I think would be more powerful in this moment is to start organizing within your own families, sometimes in your house, because you and your husband are not even on the same page. You need to go deal with aunties that are in your family that you know help vote for Trump so that he could put three justices on the court, in the court, and then take away your right to choose. These are decisions that have been made by 53% of white women who went to the polls. 53% of white women who went to the polls voted for Donald Trump. And now we in the street and we protesting and we screaming and shouting and this and that, and all of that's cool. But it doesn't mean as much as it would if you could turn around the minds and hearts of people who look like you. More white people are going to have to understand that this is your fight, because you need to correct your people. You need to correct your people, right? White folks need to not be invited to the cookout the same way that Clarence Thomas is not invited to the cookout. He is not invited to the cookout. And that's what white people need to be doing right now. I think white people need to be getting hella uncomfortable in their own communities with their own people. That's my opinion.
No, it makes a lot of sense, man. And speaking to Clarence Thomas, you know, just his you know, take on the things that they need to do. He wants to do pretty much an overhaul of precedents, cases in a lot of different places that will change the complete dynamics of this culture right now. Like, it's really dangerous.
It's not the culture, it's the country.
I mean, the country and the culture, everything. It would just change the way that we live. And to see that these people have this mindset, to me, is so dangerous. Like, why would you want to impose your personal feelings on somebody's life? Like, why do you think that's okay? Why do you think that because you think that somebody's life or the choice they make isn't okay for you, that you want to impose that they live the way that you want them to live? Like, that mindset to me is one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced in my life, you know, and watching this Roe v. Wade thing is like a wake-up call. It has to be a wake-up call. When you see that a 50-year, you know, case that set precedents, that moved women forward, that gave them the human rights that they deserved anyway. You know, nobody should be able to tell anybody what to do with their body, their mental, physical, emotional health. You know, carrying a child in itself does a lot, you know, to a woman. And if you're not prepared or want to do it, it's even more damaging to your psyche, to your physical, to everything. You know, so for someone to make a ruling about that, you know, and men, making white men making rule along with this, you know, I don't even know what this is called, Clarence Thomas, but making that type of ruling, it's unfathomable. So it's like, this is the first time that we've watched in recent history that we're really going backwards. Like, we're really watching in this time where they are rolling back our human rights, not just, you know, our God-given rights. God gave us rights over dominion over our own bodies. Mm. And the Supreme Court has literally taken that from women.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if people had to fight to get the right to have dominion over their bodies. And, you know, now we're just in a time where, you know, I just hope that our people understand that it's serious. And guess what? We, Black women, gonna have to fix it, because we always do. And that's what's gonna happen. But this time, many more of our brothers are like, this is crazy. I'm hearing from so many of you all that's like, nah, this is outrageous. Like, it's at the point now where everybody is like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on? But we've been asleep at the wheel, because guess what? They told us that this was what they were gonna do. One thing about them Republicans, them Republicans say they're going to do something, and they do it. They do it hella hot water. Well, we better freaking do the same damn thing. So anyway, we got to get straight to our interview now, because we've got a great dynamic, incredible, dope, funny warrior that's coming up right now. And I'm really super duper excited about interviewing our next guest.
The incomparable Black America's Attorney General, our brother, Benjamin Crump.
Benjamin L, don't forget the L.
Benjamin L. Crump.
Let's bring him on.
That's how we own it.
Yo, I'm hyped. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20. Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
So just so happy to have him. Our friend, you know, us and our friends on Street Politicians, and we have one of our great friends today, Attorney Benjamin Crump. Now, you know what? Y'all see Ben Crump all the time, and y'all need to know he don't just run around from one case to the next. He actually has a law firm called the Ben Crump Law Firm, and it's a bunch of lawyers that work with this man. It's not just Ben, there's a whole team. He's also the president of the Civil Rights Trial Lawyers Association, and he is most importantly what, my son? What do you call him?
He is Black America's Attorney General. That's what he is.
Thank you, General.
Thank you so much for coming to Street Politicians. It's been a long time coming, but we finally got you on.
Thank you, Queen. And Tamika, my son, thank y'all for using y'all voice to amplify the cause. I mean, it's so critical what y'all are doing to have this podcast, Street Politics, where we can communicate to our community directly. I mean, they don't have to go through no filter or nothing, and y'all can keep it real about how we move the culture forward, and more importantly, how we make a better future for our children.
Well, thank you for what you do.
Yeah. No, really, Ben. I mean, so I said to you before, and my son and I have been talking every week about Civil on your new documentary on Netflix, and I said, then we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, but as we've been discussing it, I've been saying I was always for Ben Crump because I know you. We've been in the trenches since Trayvon Martin together. I've watched you. I've actually watched you grow, you know, just as a leader. I have really been able to up close and personal see how much you sacrifice on behalf of this movement. And so they couldn't say nothing to me about you before. But now I'm ready to fight in the street if anybody says anything about my Ben Crump, because I know who you are. And, you know, Ben, what you do and the work that you put into this movement, I'm so glad that the film is out there so people could just see a little bit of how hard you go on behalf of Black folks and all kinds of folks. I mean, I see you take cases that people don't even know about with people of all backgrounds. And so we just want to say to you on Street Politicians that we love you, we appreciate you, we see you, and we want you also, Ben, to be well, take care of yourself, you know, because that's something that I don't think enough of us focus on as it relates to you, is your wellness and your well-being.
Now, thank you so much, Tamika Mallory. You know, I've said it before, and I tell everybody, you're the queen of this movement. You and I literally kind of grew up in many ways. I mean, Trayvon happened, and that was the first time when I believe the consciousness level in America was raised about the killing of a Black person, probably since like with Emmett Till, really, where it was part of the national conversation. And I think that was being driven by young people like you and me at the time, and especially the college students. Mm-hmm. And I think people like you and my son, Tez, y'all can communicate directly with the young people, like many of the people from the old guard simply cannot. And it's so important that we communicate with them, because I absolutely believe it is the young people, just like it was with Martin Luther King and John Lewis, it's the young people who are gonna move the needle. We won't move unless the young people are making us move. That's what has always been the case in history. It's gonna be the case now. And so when I think about Civil, and I'm grateful to Netflix for, you know, investing to do this because they thought it was important. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank Kenya Barris, who, you know, is an incredible movie producer, created the television show Blackish, created the television show America's Top Model with Tyra Banks. And he wrote Girls Trip. He's directing my son, White Man Can't Jump 2. So the brother is busy as I don't know what. But he said, it's not enough just to show that part of the Black experience. We have to show the entire Black experience. And he thought it was more important than to make a comedy or make a basketball film. That he said, no, no, we're going to make this film talking about the mission and the work that you're doing on the front line, Crump. And then, Queen, Tamika, they went and got this sister named Nadia Hallgren, Afro-Puerto Rican. I mean, just sharp sister from y'all neck of the woods, New York.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. I mean, she did a real good job. I don't mind if you want to jump in.
No, I just, first of all, I want to say that Sybil is amazing. And I've been talking about it. You know, I watched it twice, and every time I still cried both times. It was emotional. It was heartfelt. You know, I just want to know what made you decide that you wanted to be involved in something like this?
You know, it was interesting, my son. Thurgood Marshall is my personal hero, and Thurgood understood that, man, you got to argue in the court. Public opinion a lot, because when he was going in court, you know, y'all thought they criticized us. Man, people criticized him from both sides, like all our leaders. Black people hated him more than the white people hated him. Thurgood keep losing. He can't win. So he was saying that, well, y'all have to understand the laws are against us. What we got to do is be arguing to the public to influence the court of law, because the court of law was not made to help Black people. And so with that understanding, I said, you know, Netflix has one of the greatest global bullhorns in the world. So if they're gonna allow me to have this global bullhorn to speak truth to power, then I better seize the opportunity, because Netflix is in 261 million households all around the world. And it was so fascinating, my son, because you never know. But it was Juneteenth. They released it on just the right date. And they said it trended number one for half the time during that day. So they were very happy that they could not only engage their audiences, but what I hope is that they educated them and influenced them. I know Amanda Seals, sharp sister comedian, she said Juneteenth should be a day where white people have to listen to Black culture and Black issues and Black causes. And I think Netflix gave that opportunity on Juneteenth for them to say, hey, let's try to at least understand why they are aggravated and upset, since we think America is great, but it ain't great to them.
No, it's just one thing, because you said something that was so pivotal. I don't know if you was going to say it, but everybody says Ben Crump loses all his cases. They said, you know, Ben, and I'll be trying to explain to people, and that's what Sybil was, explained that Benjamin Crump is a civil lawyer, right? He's not the prosecutor. He's not the defense attorney. He don't try the cases. When the person who killed Trayvon Martin, you didn't try the case. You know, the person who did something to Ahmaud Arbery, you're the civil, you're only in charge or able to get monetary value and compensation for what happened. Could you please let that be said? Because I hate hearing that.
Yeah, and you know, my son, it is one of those things. Hopefully we can educate people if they're willing to engage with us. A lot of people are haters, and you can't do anything about that. And I don't spend much time on it, because I understand my mission in life. But I am a civil lawyer. The Seventh Amendment of the Constitution says what civil lawyers are allowed to do. We are allowed to receive civil compensation for a loss or injustice. Only elected officials can prosecute somebody. The only people who can arrest somebody, charge somebody, and have the trial and put them in prison is elected government officials, these district attorneys, these state attorneys. Right. And so our people have to understand that those are the people, if you're going to get mad at somebody for nobody going to prison, for Brianna or anybody else, you get mad at Daniel Cameron, you get mad at the prosecutor. I understand as a private lawyer, and my God, I think about it so much. And, you know, Tamika, we talk a lot, strategizing about how you can get some measure of justice. Okay. Now, this policy, I know Tez and I, we always talk about policy, mm-hmm. or what I can do directly, and that is to try to raise the value mm-hmm. of Black life in America. And that's what we do, my son. We have never lost a case in one of these police shootings. We've always been able to recover some measure of accountability or justice. And I could be wrong, but I want people, I don't ever want to be arrogant enough to think I know all the answers. But I want to believe if we can raise the value of Black life in America, they will at least think twice before they shoot first and mm-hmm. ask questions later, because that's what we've been having on all these cases. They just shoot first and ask questions later because they say, well, the police probably would get away with it and we don't have to pay any money. For every Trayvon Martin, every Michael Brown, every George Floyd, there are at least 10,000 other Black people who were killed, 10,000. Mm-hmm. And we don't know their names because they kill at least 1,300 every year. Mm-hmm. And so if we go back for 10 years, they have killed at least almost 40,000 people. And Tamika, we've been doing this for 10 years. We can probably name about 50 to 100.
That we know about and yeah. that we've dealt with, just the ones. And there have been some that other lawyers that you are affiliated with, our friends, whether it be Lee Merritt and Chris Stewart, and I mean, so many lawyers across the country that they are working on those cases. So, you know, it's a lot of work that's happening now. I want to hear you talk about the monetary value being raised, because I think people need to understand where you started, the amount of money that you were able to get on behalf of Trayvon Martin's family. And, you know, they should have received way more than they got, to where we are now. $27 million for George Floyd, $12 million for Breonna Taylor. There's a big difference. What's the strategy there? And before you answer that, Ben, talk about how important it is that the movement is strong at the same time that grassroots organizing is happening in order to help feed into whatever small amount of justice we can get.
Yeah, and I'll start there before I talk about the value, because I want it on the record. You know, there is no way we get any measure of justice for Breonna Taylor, this innocent Black woman, without Until Freedom. I mean, Tamika, it's on record. You were the first person I called after Lanita and Tamika Palmer, Breonna's mother, engaged me. And I said, if this is going to happen, because they were saying nobody's paying attention after a month. Right. 1 month had passed and Breonna was over with. It kind of reminds you of Trayvon. It was over with. Nobody gave a damn, seemed like.
Ahmaud Arbery also.
Yeah.
Ahmaud Arbery also.
And so people don't ever acknowledge what you got to do to make it be a trending hashtag or a news story. Then they say, oh, well, you just went for the high profile cases. Nobody knew about Breonna or Ahmaud at the beginning. Right. Nobody cared about Trayvon. So, but Tamika, I thank you, Queen. I think Until Freedom, there is no way people would know Breonna Taylor's name without you all. And I can never say thank you enough. I know Lanita and Sam Aguiar, we the lawyers in the courtroom, y'all are co-counselors in the community. And it's so important to have the grassroots there, the people in the court of public opinion pushing the court of law, because the court of law really don't care about Black people, brown people, or any marginalized people. We have to make them care. Laws are dead words on paper. Mm-hmm. We breathe life into them by what we do. And so when I think about the value of Black life in America, you have to remember, obviously, Emmett Till got no justice back in the 50s. You didn't get money. You didn't get criminal convictions. You just got nothing. You saw with LaTosha Goins, You know, Tupac, one of my heroes. You know, everybody in LA, when the Asian lady shot the sister in the back of the head, and then they let her go back to Korea, and with no criminal conviction, that little girl was dead, walking away on video in the early 80s in Los Angeles. She got no compensation. Rodney King got like $1 million. And that was pretty much it. If you got $1 million, you better be happy, Negro, is what they were saying. And obviously, it didn't make any difference. And so then Trayvon Martin came, and we said, well, we want not just civil compensation, we want the killer to go to jail. And so I really started saying, they got to arrest this guy. This guy got to be charged, because Black people got used to the police shooting and killing us. And, you know, as terrible as it is, we was like, man, that seems to just be the reality in America. But then when Trayvon got killed and this thing called Stand Your Ground, it changed everything, because then it said, we didn't have to worry about just the police killing our children, but any Tom, Dick, and Harry white person could kill our children, as long as they said that they felt in fear of their life, they could go home and sleep in their beds at night. And so we fought that, and 99 out of 100 lawyers would not have taken Trayvon Martin's case. Right. 99 out of 100. And so people say, oh, well, you took this high-profile case. Man, Sabrina and Tracy and them, they was like, who do we turn to? Because lawyers are like, why would I take that case? This neighborhood watch person ain't got nothing, and the police gonna believe him, and we just gonna spend our money and time. So we took the case, we settled it out of court for $1.5 million. And what many people do not understand is the Homeowners Association had already cut Trayvon Martin killer loose. They said he violated policy. We're not responsible for that. He didn't have our permission to carry a gun and so forth. So it would have been a judgment call in court. So they thought that was, the courts thought that was very fair. We were not happy. We then, Michael Brown and Ferguson, city, you know, same thing. We got 1.75. You steady trying to increase the value. Eric Gardner got about $5 million in 2018. Mm-hmm. You know, Trayvon was in 2012. So you're pushing every time to say, let's give more to Black people, because we want these cities to go bankrupt having to pay these lawsuits out. And then we got to, you know, we got to Breonna Taylor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Black women, Tamika, my son, they just didn't get any money. Mm. I mean,
that's right.
Zero. And nobody go to jail. Black women, it's like Malcolm X said, most unprotected, most neglected, most disrespected, because Black women, the Washington Post did a study from 2015 to 2020, over 400 Black women have been killed by police. Only 8 of them have been charged. 4 of their cases got dismissed. 4 of them got convicted of misdemeanor charges, no felonies. Mm. That meant nobody went to jail, nothing. And that's what happens in Black women cases. So for Breonna to get $12 million was a profound statement that a Black woman was not going to be looked at as irrelevant or insignificant or devalued. You were going to have to acknowledge them. And then George Floyd, mm-hmm. and the $27 million, a lot of lawyers was like, we never thought we would see a day where a police department would spend a third of their budget on a single case.
Wow.
And talking about banking while Black, Tamika, we've gotten over $200 million for Black people. That people think just we do high profile police cases. Nah, man, we fighting discrimination and employment, mm-hmm. environmental racism, medical racism. And so when we got all these banks to pay Black people $200 million in one calendar year, it was not, they won't let me say who the banks are, because it's confidential settlements, but a lot of Black people had very Merry Christmases last year. And we got to keep doing that transfer of wealth, taken from rich white corporations given to Black people to have generational wealth.
So like you just said, man, a lot of people always think that it's just high profile cases that you do. And when you watch Civil, you see that it's so many different types of cases, not just police killing cases. You know, you have Black farmers, you're talking about the banks, the young lady who's banking while Black. And that was one that I think that one really touched the nerve for me. Just seeing that situation really touched the nerve. Can you speak on some of the cases that you have now that, you know, that might not, people might not know? Because like you said, we have to amplify that. So give us like one or two cases that you think people should pay attention to.
Man, well, hopefully Until Freedom will help in Baltimore, Maryland with Shira Brown case. That's the sister, $90 check. That white lady took her check, locked it in the vault where she couldn't get milk and food for her infant children. And it was heartbreaking. You see all these banking while Black cases, they just heartbreaking.
She was being accused that they were saying the check was fake, but they called the job, didn't they, to verify that the $90 check was not fake.
$90.
Exactly. Still,
the lady took her ID and her check, right?
Yep. White lady who just said, I mean, was just so evil, really. Wanted to just tell this little Black lady that you don't matter. And she, thank God, got the police officers to buy her milk and so forth just to make it through the weekend. My mom raised me and my little brothers. People don't understand how hard it is sometimes for single parents to raise children, I mean, on their own. And so that's a case that hopefully when people see Silver, they'll understand it's more than just these high profile cases. And what blew Nadia Hallgren, you know, Nadia had directed Michelle Obama's Becoming, and she is running around the country with me, my son, and you know, I got these, I get the calls, I got these 13 officers, I'm just going. She could not believe that out of all these high profile cases I was doing, that I said, we got to go see this young sister who has this banking while Black case that I think is imperative that I work on. And they was like, you going to stop and you going to drive, Ben Crump? I said, hey, man, I understand why we got these blessings and influences. That's to try to help people. We can't help everybody, but the ones we can, we going to do it. So my son, that's a big case I want to draw emphasis on. I'm suing Wells Fargo, and that's huge because during the pandemic, you know, the government lowered the interest rate to historic lows. 75 years ago, I mean, we hadn't had interest rates that low. And so this was an opportunity for people to refinance and get equity anywhere from $100,000 up to $10 million, $20 million in their home, which we all know for middle-class people is the greatest way to grow wealth. To accumulate wealth. Well, Wells Fargo turned down half the Black people. And you was like, they the largest home lender in America, and they were turning Black people down. So we going after them. And I know sometimes we don't agree on everything, but I was very proud of Mayor Eric Adams in New York for saying, until you address this pattern of discrimination, well, I'm mayor, the city of New York would do no new business with you. And I think if more of our elected mayors in these big Black cities like Atlanta and Jackson, Mississippi, and so forth, take that stand and say, hold on, corporations, you all are gonna have to be held accountable because I know who helped vote me into office, then that matters. Can you think about it? Just imagine Tamika and my son on these home loans.
Let me just drop this point right there because I don't want to lose it. People need to research Maynard Jackson. When he was mayor, okay, when he was mayor of Atlanta, he did the same in terms of looking at all the contracts, looking at all the money going in and out of the city of Atlanta, and he made sure that wherever Black people were not in the high percentile in terms of getting the contracts and the business from these agencies, that he threatened them to pull the city's money, pension funds and other things out of those businesses and institutions. And that's where Eric Adams, I believe, got that idea, you know?
And it's so profound because a lot of people don't have the courage to do that.
Right.
They rather just try to go along to get along. They don't want to piss off nobody. And you thinking, well, Black people just keep getting kicked in the face, but you up here chi-chiing and ha-ha with everybody, and that ain't why we elected you. And so when I think of Maynard Jackson, that's a him and Marion Barry in Washington, D.C., great examples. They said, Maynard Jackson, it's a legendary story. When they building Delta Airlines, the airport in Atlanta, and he stops construction, and he says, until we get Black subcontractors on this project, we won't do any more construction of this airport. So it was a standstill. And Maynard Jackson said, I'd be damned if everybody else gets rich building this airport and Black people don't get anything. And he stood by and Delta blinked. And that's why you have so much prosperity in Atlanta from the early 80s, just from the building of that airport, because when we take a stand, y'all, it matters. And so that's why this Wells Fargo thing matters. We might be able to get Black people close to $1 billion from Wells Fargo. And it won't be a high profile case. It won't be sex or anything like that. But boy, it would be life changing for a lot of Black people. Think about you getting a house paid off now because they denied your refi. So now you got $300,000, $400,000 in equity that you can pass on to your children. It's those type of things that is part of the mission. And I can't worry about if people get it, because you know what you're fighting for. It's not a popularity contest. It's about trying to give our children a better world. And so that Henrietta Lacks case, oh man. Yeah, we suing all these pharmaceutical companies for Henrietta Lacks' family. Yeah, I know she was the sister who they stole her cells from John Hopkins Hospital in the 1950s. Oprah Winfrey made a movie about it, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. Well, her children, they hired me to try to do something that people say I'm crazy. I get called out a lot. We bring in a 70-year lawsuit. Statute of limitations is only 2 years. We going to say, Judge, we think that it was, you know, fraudulent concealment, that, and when it's fraud, the statute of limitations should not apply, and it's unjust enrichment. The theory that says, well, if we can prove you've been unjustly enriched, then we have our day in court. Well, if we're successful, and boy, it's looking kind of good for us, these pharmaceutical companies have made billions and billions of dollars off of Henrietta Lacks sales. She was the first human being on the face of the earth. We all knew Black women were the most powerful creatures on earth, but she kind of solidified it. They were trying to find out how, if a human cell could regenerate outside the body. Well, Henrietta Lacks, in 1950, her cells, they took them out, put them in the little process, and they noticed something miraculous. Every 24 hours, her cell will regenerate on its own, not inside the body, outside the body. And it's been doing that for 70 years, every day. So every pharmaceutical company, every one of them, who came up with a vaccination or any kind of medical advancement, it was because they used her human cells to test it, because that's the only way you could do it in laboratory conditions. And so they have made billions upon billions of dollars, and her children hadn't made one red penny, one penny. But we sued them. Everybody said we're gonna get kicked out of court. They laughed at us, called us crazy. But guess what? The judge has denied that we get the motion to dismiss. We get to keep going forward. And what that means, my son, what that means, Tamika, those pharmaceutical companies will never, ever let that case see a courtroom. Because when they put up the argument that we were arguing in federal court, and they said, well, Judge, where does it end? What happens when 50 years from now, they her grandchildren come back and everything? And my response to that, I was like, hold on, let me make sure I understand this. Because y'all disrespected the Black woman, didn't see her as a citizen worthy of consideration, and get her to sign agreement saying you can take her genetic makeup, her intellectual property, so when you used it in the future, her family would be able to profit or get some proceeds from it. So since y'all didn't do that, y'all are saying now, if her grandchildren come back in 50 years after these grandchildren and say, we want our percentage of whatever is to be given for her intellectual property, y'all see a problem with that. But I'm confused, Judge, because ain't the white people who are the children of these corporate presidents going to come in 50 years and 100 years and say, hold on, the reason Sam Walton children are going to be rich forever is because Sam Walton got a contract that says they rich forever. Eli Lilly, Johnson & Johnson, all of them. So why does this black woman grandchildren not entitled to the same equitable relief? And damn, the courtroom was silent.
You need a part two. You need a part two to civil, and we need a part two to this interview. And I do not want to get in trouble with your team because I promised we would just do 30 minutes today. So I want to let you go, but I do want to ask you this one quick question, Ben, and we'll be done here. Kim Fox and Marilyn Mosby, we see all of the black women, elected officials, state attorneys, not all of them, but many of them are being hit with charges. This is not about whether we think, well, first of all, we do not believe they're guilty of what they're being charged of. That's Tamika Mallory speaking. I'm pretty sure that Ben Crump has his own statement that he'd make on their behalf. Yeah. What do you think is happening here? Because we see what's being done to Marilyn, where regardless of how you may feel, still, it doesn't look like she's getting a fair a trial, if you will, or a fair, I want to say?
She's not getting due process of the law.
Exactly. And the way that they're after Kim Fox, these are black women who have stood up for justice. Talk about what you see happening and why no insurrectionists in the government has been arrested yet. But yet these black women are under attack.
And you can add Kim Gardner from St. Louis.
Kim Gardner, that's right.
They are coming after these black women prosecutors. And I think because they are completely disrespectful of black women. I mean, it is flagrant. Mm. I mean, it's so over the top. All Marilyn Mosby did was say, hold on, the officers who did this to Freddie Gray need to stand accountable for what they did. We're not saying they guilty until proven innocent, but we're saying that Freddie Gray family should have his day in court. Man, she did that. The police union have been after her for 6 years now. I mean, every day. It's not like just now. Every day they're trying to take that sister down. They want to destroy her. Same thing with Kim Gardner in St. Louis. Y'all remember Kim Gardner said the couple who was carrying the guns to Trump supporters and pointed it on the black activists, she prosecuted them. Man, you know, the governor tried to strip her of her power. Mm-hmm. Aramis Ayala in Orlando, Florida, who was the first black state attorney in the entire state of Florida, said that she's not going to do the death penalty because she believes it's disproportionately used against black people. Man, the whole state came after this black woman. And then obviously Kim Fox, Chicago. Man, Chicago is just Chicago.
It's the most corrupt city in America.
And they come after her, and it's so deep because you bring up Marilyn Mosby and Freddie Gray. Tomorrow I'm going to New Haven, Connecticut, because y'all are going to hear the name Randy Cox. Mm. It is the Freddie Gray tragedy on video. Brother in the back of the paddy wagon, my son. I mean, he was arrested without incident and he wasn't, you know, doing anything bad, but the police gave him a rough ride. You literally see him in that back of that video, and don't take Ben Crump word for a handcuff. He slides down the bench head first, hits his neck, and he's on the ground from that point forward. When the police stop and everything, you okay? He tells them, I can't feel my arms. I can't feel my leg. They're like, well, you just drunk. You need to shake it off. I mean, no respect. Pulls him out by his feet. You see his head hit again. Then they throw him in a wheelchair. I mean, at no point do they get him any help. And you see his limp body just hanging around, and they just are so callous to him. Now this brother is paralyzed from his chest down. And the only difference between him and Freddie Gray, to me, is we see the video now. Mm. And that video is hard to watch, but it is more evidence that we got work to do, because they just don't respect us. I don't believe they do this to white people, but when it's black people, they just don't look at us as having humanity. We're not worthy of humanity. And so we keep fighting that fight. And it's going to be interesting, because they may have a black prosecutor on this case too, black female prosecutor. And if she comes at them like we want, you know, they're going to come after her. I cannot end this interview, Tamika, my son, without telling you this one thing. It was a historic week. Obviously, Civil came out on Juneteenth, and that was a big deal. But Tamara Lanier, a black woman, came to me 6 years ago, asking me to sue Harvard University for some slave photographs, the earliest known photographs still in existence in the world, that she said was her great-great-great-grandfather, Renty, and his daughter, Delia. The racist Harvard law scientist stripped them down naked to take pictures of them. And back then, to take a picture, you had to stand for like 45 minutes to an hour. So they were butt naked. They measured them, his lips, his buttocks, her breasts and everything, to try to be able to give ocular proof to show visionary evidence of his racist theory that black people were inferior to white people in 1850. So while Abraham Lincoln was talking about Emancipation Proclamation, Harvard and their professors were not only arguing he was wrong, they were endorsing that black people were inferior. And so Harvard, even to this day, is complicit, because when this black lady went to them, they said, "You crazy, get away from us." And so we took the case, 172-year-old case. Mm. And we argued 9 months ago before the Massachusetts Supreme Court. They took forever. But on Thursday morning at 10 a.m., they came back with a unanimous ruling saying that Harvard's motion to dismiss our lawsuit is denied, and that this black woman can go forward and have her day in court. Mm. So it is going to be, I believe, where Harvard is either going to give those daguerreotypes, those pictures that they believe are worth $100 million, or they're going to give this black family a substantial amount of money. And so it's about trying to have redistributions of wealth taken from very rich white institutions and giving the money to black people. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing that we can control as private lawyers.
Oh man, that's, you know, it just goes to show that pretty much all of these rich institutions have been built on the backs of black people. And I just want to say before we leave, Ben, what you do is amazing. You know, just watching you, working with you, seeing what you bring to this movement, you know, the realism. Like I'm about authenticity, and I don't like a lot of people. I don't endorse a lot of people, but you, somebody like Tamika said, I'll fight in the street with and for any day of the week, man. And you know, I know you take a lot of backlash like we do, because we really do it from the heart. And you know, the enemy is going to be angry when you come outside and you're fighting them every day. So it's going to be backlash, and it's going to be negativity, and it's going to be people that, like you said, hate us. But you know, I just want to give you your flowers and let you know that we truly appreciate what you do, because we know what you sacrifice on a daily. And before I go, I just want to know, what do you want the world, when it's all said and done, what do you want the world to say about Ben Crump?
Yeah.
It's so simple, my son, and Tamika. And before I say that and we close out, man, thank y'all. Thank y'all for just being on the front line, man. It is lonely at times, and so you want to know that you're not alone in the fight. And, you know, our children, our unborn children, will know that we fought for them. And so the one thing that I believe going to be on my tombstone, y'all, is that he was an unapologetic defender of Black life, Black liberty, and Black humanity.
And with that said, we love you, Ben. Keep doing the work. Keep being great.
Hey, I love you, General. I love you, Queen. Y'all are leaders, man. Tamika, you know what I said. You're the queen of this movement.
Yeah, well, you are certainly, as my song started out, Black America's Attorney General. We love you, Benjamin L. Crump. Go and do something. Go do whatever you're about to do. Go do it. Do it well. Let's not hold you up anymore. We love you so much, Ben.
I love y'all. Keep uplifting the culture. Thank you.
Thank you, King.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Man, Ben, I mean, I just want the haters and the non-haters, the lovers and the haters, to make sure they watch Civil, because all of what he was just talking about is in the film, you know. And I don't know if people spend enough time watching Ben, like in his interviews, and understanding how much intellect this man has, and just, you know, what he means to our culture. It's just amazing, you know. And one thing I didn't get a chance to ask him is how, you know, why does he keep so many different types of people around him? Because, you know, Teslin, our sister Teslin Figaro, she's Teslin, and Teslin don't care. She is on the full spectrum, all the way Black folk, gonna say whatever she wants to say. And there's nobody that she is not so much afraid to go up against, but she's not paid, bought and paid, right? So what do they say? Bought and paid.
They shot, no chaser.
Yeah, she just gonna say whatever she needs to say. And that's powerful. But there are a lot of there are a lot of lawyers and other business people and folks who are as successful as Ben, who wouldn't be around a person like Teslin, right? Also us, we're not your average protesters. The way in which we call out white supremacy, the way in which we stand up and say things about elected officials, even the Democratic president, we are always going in on elected officials that many of us put in office, and still Ben, he's with us. But then he also works with people who are a little closer to the system. So he has a way of knowing and understanding how you bring everybody together. And that's organizing skill.
That's definitely a skill set, man. What Ben does is phenomenal. Like you said, he knows how to navigate. And he navigates authentically, right? He has so many different relationships, and each of those relationships means something, right? Each right. one of the individuals that he worked with is people that are doing work. And a lot of times it's people that are doing work that don't even agree with each other, but they work with men because they respect what it is that he does. So, you know, he has a unique skill set. And like you said, it's a level of brilliance to what he does, man. So I hope everybody watches Civil and they get a glimpse into the Ben that we actually know and love and work with on a daily basis. Because, you know, this whole theory that people chase high profile case instead of making these cases into high profile cases is something that you probably get to see in the film. So shout out to Ben, man. And it's dope, man. Just
made me cry. Good. We ain't going to stop talking about it. They're going to say every week, they keep talking about, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
One of the best documentaries I've seen. I've seen a lot of documentaries, but it's definitely one of the best documentaries that I've seen.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
And that brings me to my I Don't Get It. You know, just thinking about the movement, just thinking about Black people, just thinking about the world. We are in actually filming from LA right now after the BET Awards, and it was a phenomenal night. Our friend, another one of our friends, Diddy, was honored with the Lifetime Achievement Awards at the BET Awards.
Yeah. Dope, and
dope. Brother love. You know, and he had performances. He had people introduce him, and Kanye, right? And he's my brother, so
Kanye was a part of the tribute with Baby.
He was part of the tribute. He was the person who introduced Diddy to give him the Lifetime Achievement. Him and Babyface, and he came out in Kanye fashion with his coat and his mask over his face. He could be like. You could tell that it was hard for him to breathe. And I just want to understand Kanye. Like, I really do. Like, I really want to, because, you know, sometimes I'm very critical of Kanye because, you know what it is? Because I know that he has a level of intellect and genius, right? And sometimes I think that he utilizes it, you know, for some level of attention. And sometimes that attention negatively affects the work that we do, right? It negatively affects how we have to show up on the front line and what we fight against. And I think sometimes he's utilized that, you know, that brilliance in a form and in a way that's detrimental to us as Black people, to me. You know, everybody doesn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I just was watching him yesterday, right? And he was saying a lot of things that was brilliant and
powerful
and very powerful. But just him being up there with this mask and
the glass,
the glasses and the boots and all of these things.
Gloves. He had on gloves.
He had gloves on. And it was LA and it's hot. And it's just that I want to understand Kanye. And I just don't get it. Like, I don't. I want to. I really want to. Like, I want to sit down and try to understand Kanye.
You should sit down with Kanye.
I want to. Like, I really want to. Like, Kanye is not, it's some people that, you know, they, but I don't even want to, but Kanye is not one of those individuals. I actually respect the level. He has a level of brilliance. And I think that's why I'm so critical of him, right? And because sometimes I think that he does it purposely, right? Like, we live in this troll era where people do things just for attention, right? So sometimes I think he does things that can be detrimental just for attention. So I think that's been my issue with Kanye in the past. But at this point, I just don't even know, because he'll do some things that's so powerful, you know, and then he does things that completely throws me off. So I really just don't get Kanye. I don't.
Well, you know what? I just want to say, as a Black woman, all y'all are like that. Most of the Black men in my life may not be as extreme as Kanye in terms of what you're talking about, but y'all are constantly throwing a curveball. So I feel like that about all my brothers. That, and you know, I have many, many that I'm really close to, and my brothers that I love. And it's like, it's like all over here, it's great. And we on the right page. And then boom, because you do it. I pick up my phone, people like, can you please go check my son's Instagram and please ask him not to post that. Now, I don't think that, you know, it's not as extreme as what you're saying, that the things that Kanye does sometimes, it's pretty dangerous. It is. His affiliations, the ways that he shows up in space, some of the things he says, it is definitely dangerous to our movement. And also because of the fact that he's such an icon, when he speaks, even if he's just, you know, basically going for a shock value, because he's a master marketer, right? And which is why, you know, with the clothes and all of that, but he's a master marketer. And when he does those things, I'm not sure that he realizes the minds of the young people and other people who may not have developed opinions on certain issues. He's able to shift their thinking in a direction that is so far away from what we need in terms of our people working together and towards a particular goal. But so it's not at that level, but y'all still all as Black men, I think you have this curveball thing that happens. And I think it has a lot to do with the pain that has not ever been processed, right? When you ask about looking at Kanye with the mask, I felt the same way. Like, bruh, I get it. I understand being different. You are an artist. He's an artist. He's a superstar. I get it. And I understand, but it's like, it's just a lot for me. The boots is this big. It's a lot for me, but I realized that he's expressing, or at least I feel that he's crying out saying something is wrong. Something is going on. And I think that with Black men, you know, as we were in here in LA and throughout BET weekend, Taraji Henson was everywhere promoting her mental health organization that's focusing on, and in fact, BET and Taraji, they now have a campaign where they're going to give 1 million hours of therapy to Black folks, right? I hope Black men actually invest in that and take advantage, and that there's ways, entry points for Black men to be like some of the highest utilizers, if you will, of the service, because there's too many of you all as Black men that I feel are not getting the help necessary to process some of the things that's going on. So there's a constant battle between what is the mission and the passion. And then there's these other things that just boom, out of nowhere happen because it's speaking to the pain. And I guess all of us are like that, but I certainly feel like that about my brothers.
Okay, well, I'm gonna give me some mental health. I'm look into it. You know, if I'm on the spectrum somewhere where Kanye is, that confuses, then I definitely need to look into somebody talking to somebody. You know, but you're right. We all deal with different things. You know, but that's just my opinion. You know, shout out to Kanye. Hopefully, you know, he's dealing. You know, he said something about him taking a hiatus and wanting to be, you know, vanish and be legally registered dead for a year. Yep. So hopefully
hopefully he doesn't do that.
No, I mean, just hopefully he's getting just the therapeutic, you know, services that he needs and has somebody there to walk him through whatever he's going through. So
there you go.
And with that said, we had another amazing show. You know, shout out to Ben Crump. Shout out to everybody at BET Weekend. It was a dope weekend. A lot of our friends, you know, we've seen a lot of things. Club Love. Listen, if you've never been to Club Love.
Club Love.
Club Love is something special, man. So once again, congratulations to Diddy.
Yeah.
BET put on a good show. All of the artists there, dope. So with that said, we're going to close the show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to always be right. Tamika D. Mallory is not going to always be wrong, but we will both always, and I mean always, always, always be authentic.
Peace.
Salute.
Listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.tv.
That's how we own it.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha. With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.